What's up with your faces, word nerds? Hello, everybody. Let's do this. Let's talk about more words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary in March of 2025. So, I was thinking this morning, here's what we're gonna do. This is my plan. All good plans always go to plan, right? That's the phrase. That's what they say. So, I think I'm going to get through as many of these new 2025 words before the G's start. I'm leaning towards starting the G's December 1st. If it's not that, it'll be January 1st, but I think December 1st is probably good. Then, for the Patreon members, you are going to get an exclusive. I think there's three or four people. I lost track. It's a really high number to keep track of. I am going to keep on going through the rest of the 2025 words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary, and those are going to be bonus exclusives just for Patreon members. So if you want to be one of the very, very cool people and give me only one American dollar a month, which is ridiculously cheap, then not only will you get early episodes before the rest of the silly 8 billion people out there, but you will also get the rest of the 2020. You will hear me talking about the 2025 words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary. The words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary in 2025. That's a better way to put it. Okay, let's talk about this section of 20 words. The first one is law of attraction. A phrase that has been around for a long time, but it's just now getting into the dictionary. It's three words, it is a noun, and the world that we're talking about is physics. Although, it's not just physics, but in this definition is just about physics. So, this is a mathematical rule governing the attraction of bodies towards one another due to a given force, such as gravity. Gravity is attracting things. What is gravity? It's like the bending of the space-time continuum. A bigger mass thing, it doesn't need to be physically bigger, but it has more mass, is going to be stretching the space-time like a trampoline and pulling things towards it, which is why this big mass that we call Earth is keeping us to the ground. And then gravity is keeping all of the planets in orbit around the sun because the sun has so much mass. So it is the law in the physics that there's all these laws of attraction and other laws of things. When something is going to keep on moving unless something stops it, like friction or gravity. Okay, so that's the law of attraction. But, you know, you talk about, you know, interpersonal relationships. Who are you attracted to? We still use this phrase, the law of attraction. I think in the spirituality world, there's something about, ooh, energies that attract each other, opposites attract. That's definitely a thing, which is weird, but sometimes, you know, opposites are complementary to each other. All right, let's move on to La Bruche. Is this how you pronounce it? La Bruche, one word, L-A-W B-R-U-C-H-E. It is a noun. It seems French, but I'm not sure. This is the breaking of the law. Crime. Also, an act or instance of this. La Bruche. I want to look up La Bruche. What is this from? What language is this? Is this English? Is this something else? Let's see. Well, it took me to the same site that I'm on. What language does the word La Bruche come from? Let's see. The word language. No, I don't want to know about the word. Forget it. Forget it. La Bruche is the act of breaking the law. That's what we got it. That's what we're here for. Who uses this? Do the police use this? The jurors, the judges who are being all judgy, the lawyers, are they using this term La Bruche? Well, he did a La Bruche. Excuse me. Look at the time. I got to go do a La Bruche. Got to go break into that jewelry store and steal all the jewels. Next word is lawfare. We have a lot of law words here. lawfare is a noun. This is legal action undertaken in order to exert power or control, especially as part of a hostile campaign against a particular country or group. The legal action. So you are taking the legal action to exert power or control. Oh, okay, so this is like when we're in a hostile situation and maybe it's two countries against each other and one country is like, well, I really want power or control over that other country, so I'm going to take legal action to make it legal that I have power or control over them. I'm not going to go do this in a sneaky way. I'm going to follow the law to make sure that I have control over them. That is lawfare. And you are probably doing it in warfare, possibly. All right, next we have lawmaking. Adjective. That make laws or has the power to legislate of or relating to legislation. So these are the things you are describing them as lawmaking. So there are people in government who are lawmaking people. Congress, boy, they're really fucking things up right now as I record this. During the government shutdown in early October. But, you know, they are standing their ground. In this case, the Democrats are standing their ground because of healthcare. Because if they don't, then the healthcare is going to go way up for a lot of people. And that's pretty good grounds to stand on. A lot of people can't afford healthcare in the first place, and it's going to double for a lot of people. And also, Medicaid is going away. So, yeah, it sucks. It sucks to have the government shut down for a while, but hopefully, oh boy, I don't know. They're lawmaking people. They're trying to make some laws, and sometimes we don't like those laws. Now we have lawmaking noun. This is the action or process of making laws, also just legislation. Next is law speaker. Noun. The context is historical. This is in medieval Scandinavia and especially Iceland, so it would be historical. Medieval, that's historical, Scandinavia and Iceland. It is an official whose role was to memorize and recite the law, especially at government ... I would probably guess the rest is government parties, government get-togethers, government situations, anything that's the government is getting together to do some stuff. They're like, we can't write down the laws. No, we are going to have somebody recite them to us in order. Can you imagine? Literally, that law speaker, the one who speaks the law. What a crazy job. My whole job is to just memorize the entire list of laws in our country in medieval Scandinavia and especially Iceland, and then I shall recite them to you. But they probably didn't do it in order. They're probably like, hey, can you remind us what's the law about that stuff about, you know, things? And they're like, ah, yeah, that's Article 2, subsection 5A. Let me tell it to you. What a job. All right, next we have lawyerese. Lawyerese, noun. This is the type of language considered characteristic of the legal profession or legal documents, especially in being complex and obfuscatory. Where's the emphasis? Obfuscatory? Obfuscatory. It's obfuscating. This word is obfuscatory. Also, legal jargon, ... Yeah, have you ever read a legal document? You need to have gone to law school to understand what are they trying to say. I don't get it. It's lawyerese. Maybe this next one is the same. Lawyer speak. Noun. A form of language considered typical of lawyers or the legal profession, especially in being complex and obfuscatory. I don't know where the emphasis is. Obfuscatory seems okay, but wow, that word is weird. Obfuscatory pronunciation. Emphasis the K. Obfuscatory? Really? Obfuscatory? Maybe that's the... Some UK pronunciations may skip the final T sound. Obfuscatory. Oh, that's British English. British English. Double shush. That makes sense. The American English way is to emphasize the fuss and the tor. Obfuster. What's the word? Oh, I see. Obfuscatory. Oh my God. Can we stop saying this word now? Okay. Thank you. Next, we have lip lock. Ooh. My lips are locked. Lip lock, two words with a hyphen, noun. This is a kiss, especially one that is passionate or prolonged. Also, as a mass noun, I don't know what a mass noun is, the action of kissing, the state of being engaged in a passionate or prolonged dot, dot, dot. The next word is probably kiss. Excuse me. After I go do a labrouche at the jewelry store, I'm going to get in a lip lock with somebody I want to lip lock with. Lip lock. Our lips are locked together in a passionate and prolonged. This is the motion. If you're watching the video, this is the motion of lip locking. Okay. Next, it's related. Lip lock again, but this one is the verb. It is intransitive, and this is to kiss, especially passionately or for a long time. Also transitive. Now, wait a second. Passionately or for a long time. Does that mean that you can be lip-locking for a very long time, but it's not passionate? That would not be very fun. I don't care for this lip-lock. I'm going to do it for a long time because I must do a lip-lock. But I feel no passion for this lip lock. All right, next we have loft bed, two words, noun. It is a bed on a raised platform, but later, chiefly, specifically, a piece of furniture comprising an elevated bed frame, usually accessed using a ladder beneath dot, dot, dot. I don't know, I'm just guessing, beneath which is, I don't know, maybe a couch or another bed or a something, a dresser, a desk, so many options. A lot of college kids in more recent years, I don't know, the last 20, 30 years have been lofting their beds. So they put, a couch or a desk or something underneath. Maximize that vertical space, baby! When I was a child, I probably told this before. When I was a child, my family friend, we were very young, and she got a loft bed. So, yep, there was a ladder, climb up there. It was very cool. And then underneath, there was another bed, and it was like perpendicular to the loft bed. So when we were very young, I don't know, 5, 6 years old or something, supposedly, we had a sleepover, and I was sleeping on the lower bed, and she was up on the loft bed, and she threw up over the railing. And it landed on me. And I don't like to... I'm pretty sure if that is true, I blocked it. Because I have no memory of it, but I've been told the story. Thank God I blocked it. Next, we have Ludraman. Or is it Ludraman? Ludraman. It is a noun. It is colloquial and derogatory. So it's only a specific area that's using this bad word. It is a lazy, unproductive, or stupid person, especially a man, which makes sense because the word man is in the word ludraman. But I would really like to know, like, who's using this? Where can I go to not use this word? Interesting. The Google automatically went to the translation and detected the word as from Esperanto, which was... like a fascinating language that was made up of using bits and pieces from lots of different language to make it like the worldwide language. It didn't catch on, but it translated that to be playful, which is fascinating. And this is also interesting. There is an article from March of 2025, which is, this is interesting. I wonder if it's literally, yep. It says giggle. Or a ludraman, how well do you know these new words added to the dictionary? So that is directly referencing the list that I'm going through, because we had giggle before. Okay, here we go. Here we're making some progress. Somebody did the on Reddit, the Ask Ireland subreddit, spelled a little differently, but it's Ludraman. They just added new words from foreign languages when there isn't a good English word. One of them is Ludraman from the Irish Ludraman. I don't know how to pronounce it in Irish. It is a colloquial and derogatory term for a lazy, unproductive, or stupid person. Why don't you just... Oh, boy, this is... It ends roughly. Why don't you just say Englishman? Oh, there's the Irish and the English people button heads. So, yes, I guess this is based on the Irish word for a lazy, unproductive, or stupid person. Okay, next we have lumpia. L-U-M-P-I-A. Noun. This is in East and Southeast Asian cookery. It is any of various types of spring roll, typically consisting of a very thin pancake, filled with minced meat, Now, I have heard of this. I wouldn't have been able to tell you what it was, but I have definitely heard of it. Oh, yes. I mean, yeah, they look like crispy little spring rolls. That's literally what they are. This says lumpia are various types of spring rolls commonly found in Indonesian and Filipino cuisines. Lumpia are made of thin, paper-like or crepe-like pastry skin called lumpia wrapper, enveloping savory or sweet fillings. It is often served as an appetizer or snack and might be served deep-fried or fresh. I would very much like some deep-fried lumpia. Next we have macarapa. M-A-K-A-R-A-P-A. M-A-K-A-R-A-P-A. What does that spell? Macarapa. This is a noun. In earliest use, I guess that's in the earliest use of this word, it is a hard hat worn by a miner or construction worker, but now it is a hard hat which has been painted and elaborately decorated with flags, So, I mean, it's still a hard hat. That has not changed. I'm just looking it up real quick so we can see. I'm guessing, well, I look up pictures and there are some people. It's for sports fans. It looks like the miners and the construction workers maybe don't use these anymore. They still are wearing hard hats, but it has now become a fun thing for sports fans to wear when they are supporting their sportsy teams. And they decorate them with, yeah, probably their flag from their sports team place. Let's see. Industrial roots. The name Macarapa literally means scrapers, referring to migrant workers in South Africa's mining and construction industries who wore hard hats. Let's see. Oh, from protection to fan gear. The hard hats were adapted by sports fans, first for protection from projectiles thrown at matches, and then transformed into elaborate decorative fan gear. So, oh, man, what, you just threw that bottle at me. I need to wear some protective headgear. Good thing I have a macarapa at home because I am a miner or construction worker. And then everybody started wearing their hard hats. Like, we could make this a little bit more fun. We can show our fandom on our hats while also protecting our heads. It's very good to protect your head. You should always wear, we should all be wearing macarapas because you never know when something's going to hit your head. Next, we have management speak, which is two words with a hyphen. Noun, it is a form of language considered typical of business managers or consultants, especially in being obfuscatory, needlessly complex, or empty of useful meaning, Well, I think we got enough information there. We don't need to figure out what's after that. Management speak. Yeah, this is real similar to just like business jargon. And like, what are you even trying to say? Are you trying to obfuscate me, confuse me, or just use some fancy words? I don't need your management speak. I need your lawyer speak. Okay, next we have, it's going to be similar. Managementees. Just love putting ESE at the end of a word. It's like, yeah, that's just how that word talks. Managementees. Noun. Management jargon, frequently characterized by verbiage, opacity, and euphemism. But also management speak, which is the word that we just had. Very different definition. Characterized by verbiage, opacity. So like transparency? Is that accurate? Okay. And euphemism. All right. So yeah, two words for that. Management speak and managementees. Okay. Next we have... Well, I wanted to say it was one thing, but now I think it is marica. M-A-R-I-C-A. Noun, slang, frequently derogatory and offensive. So keep that in mind. I always have to say that. This is chiefly among Hispanic Americans, and it is a gay man, sometimes specifically one who is characterized or stereotyped as being flamboyant, ostentatiously affected, or dot, dot, dot. So really, you're saying a flaming gay man is a marica. And I am now curious about, like, does this translate to something specific in Spanish? Yes. It automatically translates into English as sissy. So yeah, definitely not nice, derogatory, slang, be cool and don't use this word. But of course, if you are talking with your friends, maybe a bunch of flaming, flamboyant gay men, and you're Hispanic, and you want to say this word to your friends, then I think that's pretty great. All right, next we have Matt Rempit. What is this? Two words. Matt has one T, Rempit, R-E-M-P-I-T. Noun, it is a man who is typically young, who participates in illegal motorcycle street racing and often performs dangerous stunts. I have definitely seen people like this. They weren't racing, but they were definitely, they looked young. They were on these fancy motorcycles driving down the street, trying to do wheelies, and part of me just really wants them to crash. Oh, I just want you to flip back over because you're being so irritating and stupid. And Matt Rempit. I want to know about the etymology of Matt Rempit. What do those words even mean? This comes from Malaysia. Combines the Malay male name Matt with Rempit, which likely comes from the action of ramping or revving a motorcycle's throttle, or the way motorcyclists aggressively cut through traffic. So this is from Malaysian words or Malay words. Okay, we'll see. That's why I didn't understand it, because it's not from English. Okay, next is mech suit. M-E-C-H, next word. Suit, S-U-I-T, like birthday suit. Black tie suit. Swim suit. This is a noun, and it is an armored suit comprising mechanical or robotic parts used to confer extra strength or physical abilities on the wearer. Also, a giant armored dot, dot, dot. Oh, I would love to be in something like this, even just for a few minutes. We've got examples like in Alien or Aliens or both of them, when she gets all up in that mech suit. That's pretty dope. In Avatar, I think there's a whole like RPG role-playing game something or other from back when I was a kid that I think had these big mech suit things. I'm sure there's many, many more examples, but those are the ones that pop into my mind. And, you know, in recent years, tech companies have been making these two big reasons. One, for disabled people who maybe require a wheelchair, but then they can get into this mech suit that like keeps them up and lets them walk, which is pretty cool. And I don't know how available they are to the public yet. And if they are, they're probably stupid expensive. But also, people who are in jobs where they have to like carry heavy things, move stuff around, when they wear this mech suit, they're able to lift really, really heavy things with the help of the robotics. Hopefully the robotics don't get all messed up when they're wearing it and control them and force them to do things that they don't want to do, and that would be a fun horror movie. So yeah, that's mech suit. You know, right now they're like small, but maybe they'll get bigger and bigger and we can do cooler things. Eventually we'll be, you know, hundreds of feet tall like in that movie Pacific Rim. All right. One more word for this episode, which is just the word mech, M-E-C-H. It is a noun. It looks to be the second form, so maybe the first form was previously in the dictionary. This is, oh yeah, a giant armored machine or robot. I meant to say robot, but in my head I was thinking I'm also going to say robot because it's funny, and also I was just watching the new season of Futurama where Dr. Zoidberg says robot, and also just last night with my family we watched a Twilight Zone episode, and there's a couple of characters who say the word robot a lot, and I just think it's a funny old way to say robot. I don't know why we don't say robot anymore. It's just so funny to me. But anyway, a mech. A mech is a giant armored machine or robot designed for combat, typically piloted by a person, creature, or crew from a cockpit within the robot's head or dot, dot, dot. I don't think these don't exist, right? I mean, I think in Japan they were making a big mech, but I don't think it was quite what the movies show us. But yeah, maybe someday we'll have these actual mechs where we can have creatures control them in the head. I don't know. And there was a Futurama episode where Bender turned into a huge mech and Leela and Fry got in his head to control him. And they were like, why are there two? It doesn't make any sense to have two pilots. And then I think Guillermo del Toro came in somehow and he was like, because it looks cool. Yeah, got to work together. But yeah, it doesn't really make sense to have two people controlling one body. It was like, might as well be one, but unless it's like one person controlling the body and then the other person controlling the weapons or something. I don't know. That's mech. Those were all the words. Oh, yay. I hope you enjoyed it. What were your favorites? You can tell me. You can email me dictionarypod@gmail.com. I don't know. I should probably post some of these on Instagram, on the social media, @dictionarypod. Leave me a voicemail if you like, 917-727-5757. Join the Patreon for $1 a month. If you join now, you probably already have the next episode available to you and more. You all will also, that's the plan. The plan is to give you exclusives that the rest of the people don't have, because I have not been very good about that. So, that's going to be it. Thank you so much for checking out this show. Come back for the G's, probably in December of 2025, and keep it going. Send it to your friends and say, look at all these words that you're missing. You won't get to learn these words until you check out the podcast called The Dictionary. All right, that's it. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.